The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you for the final hour of The George Show live from El Paso, Texas. Very, very close to the border with our friends down south there in Mexico, who seem to be giving up a lot more of their population into the country, whether legally or illegally. This is not an issue that sprung up today or this year or this decade. This has been going on for many decades. You'll remember with our interview with retired Chief Manjarres, he talked about the 1986 Immigration Reform Control Act, which was supposed to provide citizenship for 1.5 million illegal aliens. Instead, because when you announce there's going to be a buy one, get one free sale at Best Buy, which is America, all of a sudden you get flooded with these requests. That 1.5 million ballooned into 11 million, and we did not shut down the border. And so it just kept coming. And so this has been going on for decades, but it has reached a breaking point in many ways, including the impact it has on our state, and we've invited it. And we've invited it to have that impact, as you know, from the many people that we've spoken with, because of our not just permissive, but encouraging policies at the state level. The man who's behind this entire operation, and I want to thank him for this eye-opening trip and the education that it's been, is Steve Wells. Wells, he joins us now. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm good, man. First off, thank you for doing this. This wasn't necessary. It wasn't free. It wasn't easy. But you said, I want to do this. I want to turn the ship in Colorado. Thank you for doing it.
Well, George, this is necessary. You know, these conversations have to happen. People need to understand what's going on out there. And I think this is probably one of the best ways.
Have you had a chance to come down here yet, Steve? I know you're well-traveled, but have you been at any point along this southern border?
No, I have not.
Buddy, you should come down here. Honestly, it is, you think you know what it is. You look at the pictures, you look at the videos, and this is why what you've done is so important. But then you come down and you see it, and you start to get into the community. You look across. I mean, it's like you could throw a baseball into Mexico from where we're at if you can get it over that giant wall. And you begin to see, I get it, man. I get what's going on here. So this is an eye-opening thing. I appreciate you doing this. Now, let me ask, from your vantage point, and we've done a little bit of a biography in the past because of all the great work you did leading up to the midterm elections in November, but tell folks, where do you hail from? Where has been home for you? And then we're going to talk about why you're doing this.
Okay, well, live east of Greeley in Weld County. Family has a, we have a ranch and a farm here. Been here since 1888. And, you know, George, I guess for me, I have watched so many changes over the course of my life. And this is just one that we really need to address. And, I mean, I look at it a couple different ways. So, this, I see everything that's going on is extremely intentional. I mean, we only have two options here. This is either intentional by our federal and state governments, or these people are so unqualified to be in their position, they need to go.
So, well, by the way, those things are not mutually exclusive. They could both be true at the same time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to share something with you that I haven't heard people talk about. I don't know how many millions of illegal people we have here. You know, depending on what you read, it's all over the board. But one of the things I want people out there to understand is that when you, all of these people that are here illegally that are working, the majority of them do not get cash. You know, we've always heard that story. I have never met anybody that pays their employees cash that are illegal. But here's what happens, George. These guys can go, when they come here, they can go get a Social Security card. If they go to your business, and you run that card and it's a bad card, you just go, they just come back within an hour with another one. So then you hire them, they go to work. Understand, these people, the 10 or 11 million, whatever that number is in this country, are paying into
that,
a social security system that are never going to gain from it, ever. So it's not in the Fed's best interest to tell them no and to go,
that's
to go away. I mean, I see this on so many levels.
From your vantage point up there in Weld, and I know you haven't just spent all your time up there in Weld, but you said your family's been there since Taylor Sheridan created that miniseries, 1888. I'm kidding, since 1888. what are you seeing? And my guess is this. I think that the narrative that the left wants to push is these are just people, as if it should defeat law. These are just people who are looking to improve their lives and the lives of their family members. Is that all that you're seeing coming out of this? And if it is, does that make it okay? Does that mean it has no impact on the community?
No, it has a huge impact on the community. And this isn't what that's about. This is just socialism 101 stuff. So for the left to promote what they want, they have to bring these people in. They have to create these problems. They have to shrink the middle class. And the way you shrink the middle class is you just keep taxing them and taxing them. And so as I've watched this unfold, and then the drugs come with it and the sex trafficking, and I mean, all of the things that come with with illegal immigration, everything's out of control. You know, I guess for me, one of the things that has really pushed this for me, I have a friend of mine I went to high school with that has businesses in Nebraska and a couple other states. And before our last election, he called me and he said, you know, he said, Steve, he said, we really hope people like Polis and the left and the Democrats in your state get elected. And I asked him, I said, why would you wish that on us? And he says, well, you know, here's the reality of it. We call Colorado the landfill of the Midwest for all the people we don't want. And what they're seeing is all these people are getting shoved to our state. And George, this has to stop. I mean, all of this stuff just has to stop.
You took some pretty significant steps leading up to the midterm to try to change out the leadership of the governor's and the attorney general's office. But it was unsuccessful, and obviously that doesn't fall on you. Before we get into what you're asking folks to do now, though, I do want to ask you, and I don't think we've had this conversation, post-midterm elections, as you survey the political landscape and what happened, what's going on with Colorado? Why did the majority of Coloradans vote to keep these guys in office despite what they've done to the state?
Well, you know, I guess I hired a new IT firm, and so I was talking to this guy, and he's probably mid-40s, maybe late-40s. And I just looked at him and said, you voted for Jared Polis, didn't you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, why? And he said, well, you know, I guess the thing. He said, I don't read politics. And he said, you know, he said he was just there. And I think, George, we see a lot of that in these people that voted for guys like Polis and Weiser. I don't think. And when I sat with him and I started explaining him about some of the laws that were passed a year ago that were going to come into effect this year, and things that they were doing this year, he just looked at me and he had no idea. And I think what's happened, I think most of the public is so uneducated and they don't read this stuff anymore. I mean, they just, they're just oblivious to what's coming until it gets to a point they can't stand it. What that point is, I don't know. I think we're seeing more and more of it with the fentanyl and all the rest of this stuff, but it's something we have to do to get these people to listen to what's going on and to educate them.
When you look at the environment that we're at now and you see this giant effort that you've helped to make happen for 710 KNUS, the listeners, and hopefully broader Colorado, what's your goal? What is it you want to see people do to try to save our state?
So right now, for me, I'm trying to get people involved. That's why I'm trying to get people to go to the website, and whether it's donate $5 or whatever that, wherever that is. What I want to do on a statewide level is I want to start working on more local races. On a statewide level, we need to look at school boards. We need to look at county commissioners. We need to look at city council members. You know, we're seeing Mike Kaufman do some really amazing things in Aurora.
Aurora, yeah.
We need to get we need to get more people involved. You know, people need to start going to their school board meetings. Share a really quick story. A friend of mine has a cleaning business, and she cleaned Walmarts and big businesses. And I asked her, I said, how do you tackle something that big? And she looked at me and she goes, 10-foot squares. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you know, she said, Steve, it's like cleaning your garage. If you try to clean the garage a little on every corner and every wall, you never get anything done. But she said, if you clean a 10-foot square in the corner, you get mentally and emotionally motivated to get the rest of it clean. So that's where we're going to start. We're going to start school boards, and I want to do that on a statewide level, trying to get people more involved. And if we can replace a couple members on these boards at a time, we'll just start cleaning it up. It's going to be a long process. I'm not telling everybody this is going to be easy, but I am telling you that if we don't do it, who the hell will? I mean, we can't keep continuing down this road we're going down now.
Well, I love to hear that, man. I'm glad that you're focusing on that. The other thing is, and you may have felt this already, but after the midterm elections politically, I think most of the national donors, the big organizations and all that other stuff, now look at Colorado as so firmly blue. My guess is until we prove otherwise, that money is going to only trickle into the state instead of come in to make a big difference for people who might win. And so if it's not Coloradans trying to save Colorado, we can't look to anywhere else outside the landfill for people to try to help us. By the way, that is a great phrase that you've coined there, the landfill of Colorado, of America. It's a bummer to hear it, but it's very visual. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, George, you and I've talked before. I love reading history. And, you know, it's interesting when the colonists beat the British, we beat the most powerful government on the planet at the time with a bunch of farmers and shopkeepers and, you know, just ordinary folks. And they did it because they had nowhere else to go. And that so much reminds me what's happening today. There are more people moving out of Colorado now than coming in. And they're leaving to go to red states where, you know, people respect the law and things are different. Taxes aren't overbearing. We can only run so far, and I just don't want to run from this anymore. I mean, I've never ran from it, but I can't see running away. There's too much here to keep and to be proud of. We just got to get the right people back in control.
See, I need to hear this, Steve, because it takes guts to take that position in this weathering storm of progressive policy and nonsense, because part of me, and there are folks out there who've expressed this to me too, are like, okay, I hope you get everything you want. And now they have it, right? Like every lever of government at the state level is in their hands. You go ahead and run the ship. And when you run it aground, then the adults can come back in the room and do something special. I mean, and yet when I hear you talk, I'm like, yeah, I know you're right, man. We can't let this thing burn to the ground and say, let's rebuild it. We need to save it before it burns to the ground.
Well, we do. And I think everybody today, you know, when you get up in the morning or you've done listening to this radio program, you need to go look in the mirror and you need to say, look, am I willing to do something, whether that's a donation to my deal or whether that's go to a school board meeting, a city council meeting, and start voicing your opinions and start telling people you're sick and tired of what's going on. It's going to take an effort, George. It's going to take people that care.
We have been this morning talking about not only your IEC, but driving people to that 710kenus.com website and clicking on that Colorado Undivided banner to sign the petition. But you brought up something else, an effort that is a companion piece with this. Tell us about where folks can go to start doing that thing. So when they look at themselves in the mirror, they can say, I did something today. What is that?
Well, you know, they can go to Deep Colorado Wells. They can help me. And then I'm going to use that money. And one thing I want to make very clear here is 100% of the money that goes into my IEC goes to things out that will be visual. None of it stays in house like the other IECs out there. Not one dime will stay in house for any other expenses. So they can do that. They need to, and again, it's going to a city council meeting and sending emails and just doing whatever you can to salvage the state.
Just showing up is what I'm hearing you saying. And I want to make sure I reference this again. Deep Colorado Wells, all the traditional spelling, one word, deepcoloradowells.com. And what you've been asking folks to do is, look, $5, man, that's not a backbreaker. It's the cost of a cup of Starbucks coffee. Give that to make a difference for Colorado. And I love that you have done this disclaimer of, I'm not keeping any of this for me or some other administrative organization or whatever it is. We're spending all of it on the bigger goal, which is to save Colorado.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I can't, that I've always remembered, that was something my mother had told me growing up. She says, Steve, God will judge you by the things you do, but believe me, he will judge you by the things you don't do as well. And we all have a little bit of time. Everybody, you know, we talk about how busy we are, but all of us have time to send an email, send a small donation, go to a city council meeting, go to a school board meeting. Everybody can make that time, because if we don't start doing this, there's going to be nothing left here to save. You know, Steve Reams took me for a drive through Greeley the other day, and I knew that Greeley
had... Were you in
the
back of the car or the front of the car?
No, this time I got to be in the front.
Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
But, you know, George, he took me and drove me through some things, and I saw some things that I didn't even realize in my own town how bad it was. And I just, you know, it's heartbreaking for me to see what's happened to my local town, into this state and the country. I mean, it's just, it's unacceptable, and we just can't continue this.
I agree with you. Steve, if I'm going to do for you what I did for Reams and Representative Evans, and I want you to take off Steve Wells, businessman, rancher, legacy Coloradan, and I want you to put on the hat of the governor. I don't know if you know if he wears hats, but what does Governor Steve Wells do right away that you think would help save us from the impact of illegal immigration in our state?
Well, the first thing that has to happen, we've got to get rid of the sanctuary state status. We have to make laws. And our biggest problem, George, there's no consequence for anything anybody does anymore. The drugs have to have a huge consequence. You know, if it was me and you got caught dealing fentanyl, it's a life term in prison, period. Not a misdemeanor.
Boom.
As it is.
Boy, that's a
big
one. I mean,
we have to make some serious, serious rules out here to stop this.
Steve Wells from deepcoloradowells.com. And also Deep Colorado Wells IEC. Listen, here's what I want to do. When we're done with this trip at the end of this week, when we're all back together, I would love to get you in studio after we've been able to show you, and you're listening all the time too, but show you some of the footage of the stuff that we've uncovered, some of the interviews that we've done, and I'd love to get your feedback. Can you find time in your busy schedule to come in studio and do that with us?
Oh, George, I always have time for you.
Man, that's so nice. I appreciate that. Maybe sometime you and I can ride in Sheriff Reams' car in the back seat.
Okay.
After some crazy day at the man cave. I don't know. That's Steve Wells from deepcoloradowells.com. Sir, thank you so much again for your generosity and your focus on trying to save our great state.
All right. And appreciate being on, George, and take care and stay out of trouble.
I can do almost all of the things you just suggested. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. ¿Cómo se dice bail? Anybody? Listen, George Brockler with The George Show. When we come back, we're going to try to hook up with Senor Stephen Tubbs, who is somewhere, I think, in New Mexico. He appears to be on the run from several law enforcement agencies. I don't know who they are. We're going to find out when we come back. George Brockler on The George Show. It's 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS live from El Paso, Texas. I'm down here with the entire crew. That's the important people, Kelly, Mark, and the less important people, Deb and Stefan. I'm kidding. You guys got to tune in to the 3 o'clock Deb Flora show and the 4 o'clock Stephen Tubbs show, because these guys are out and about right now. They're not in El Paso, Texas anymore. In fact, I don't even think they're in Texas anymore. Calling us with his one call from a jail somewhere in New Mexico, Stephen Tubbs. Sir, how are you?
Jorge, good morning to you. It is a pleasure to be on with you as we drive between Columbus and Deming, New Mexico. So I'm not even in the same state as you right now, and there is no truth to the rumor that anyone of our crew members are in trouble with the law or on the run.
Yet. Tell us, why are you headed out that direction? What's going on?
So I'll tell you where we're going right now, and then I'll tell you what we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm in one vehicle with Mr. Crowley and our border consultant, John Fabricatore. We are heading to a location this morning to speak with, and quite frankly, I'm really expecting nothing but to hear some candor, you know, from former Border Patrol and ICE agents. They're retired now, and, you know, when you're not having to worry about pissing off the man, so to speak, you know, you can have the ability to speak freely. I know you've talked with John a lot on this journey down here, and it's so refreshing to just hear not the company line, or, you know, they want to say something but they can't because obviously they're still employed by the federal government. It's really, really nice to hear just the reality. And so that's where we're headed now, and we'll have more. I know Deb will have more, and I will on the shows this afternoon. But it's been really interesting. I mean, I actually come to you from New Mexico bringing you tidings of great news, if you'd like
to have them. What is it? Because I was hoping you'd tell us what Columbus was like, because when we were sitting around the table last night doing our little strategy session here, Columbus posed a real opportunity for us in terms of observations. What did you come across?
So, interestingly, I'm reading this book right now by a guest that we'll have on tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. He's the former special agent in charge of the DEA in El Paso, and he describes Columbus, New Mexico, which we literally within the last 10 minutes we just pulled out of, and there literally is two stop signs, one going east and one going west.
Did
and
you hit
it's about
either
3 miles? And we rolled right through them, baby.
I knew it.
Actually, here's an interesting thing, because I love live radio. We are coming up on what appears to be, at least the signs say stop, so I think I will at least slow down. It looks like this is a border checkpoint, or what do you think, John?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we interview the people who are going to check you? Can you roll down your window? Let's do a quick interview with whoever that is.
I just rolled right through it. Now I am officially on the run. No, they didn't stop us. They didn't stop us. Nobody was waving us through either. It just was kind of shut down. But anyhow, when I'm reading this book called Drug Warrior, and again, it's the SAC, former special agent in charge of El Paso division of the DEA, and he described Columbus as one of those sleepy towns of about maybe 2,000 people, but there's corruption everywhere. He says this is the kind of place where you'll see double wides, but there'll be a brand new Lincoln Navigator with, 22-inch rims.
Priorities.
So there's something that just doesn't fit here. And I got to tell you, I didn't see any of that, but we didn't drive, you know, down many streets. But here's the good news. So we go to the Columbus, New Mexico port of entry, and it looks brand new. And
wow.
Having John here is just so great because he can compare and contrast. And so he's like, yeah, none of this looked like this the last time he was here, 2008, 2009,
really?
Whenever. Yeah, and so that's some positive news, right? So the port of entry looks really official. It is clean. It wasn't, you know, busy like where we were yesterday when we were near that border crossing, literally in downtown El Paso. But what we kept, we're probably right now, as I speak to you, we're probably about 90 minutes west of you. And, you know, so we just basically, these are like, you know, you hear Glenn Frey and the Eagles playing, like, I mean, on a dark desert highway. These are just straight. It's barren. You'd see probably every 5 to 10 minutes at least one Border Patrol vehicle. But you know what we saw consistently, George? Was a border wall.
Oh, you did?
A border wall.
Was it like the one that we had
did.
That we're seeing down here by El Paso?
Exactly.
Remember that one that was just so ominous?
Oh, it's huge. But, you know, the other thing is we're going to talk about it. John's going to join me, of course, again this afternoon. And one of the things, we did a Facebook Live not too many minutes ago. And, you know, this is not some monstrosity. This is not something that's desecrating the landscape. There are times, literally, you could be within maybe a mile or two, and you can't hardly tell the wall is there. That's how it blends in. But then when you stand up next to it, it's 24 feet tall.
Man.
But the good news was we were expecting around here to just have nothing. But we probably have driven at least 90 to 100 miles. Maybe that's a little much, but I mean, a lot of many, many miles, mile after mile of seeing the border, either in the border wall, either, you know, right up close or, you know, within the 2 to 5 miles from us, but you can kind of see it in the distance. So now that's the good news. Here's the bad is that This wall, we know from here, I heard that, wall does not, the wall does not extend to the Pacific Ocean. We all know that.
Yep.
We know a president that wanted it to, but then here's I guess, bringing it back to reality of what we just saw, and I'm going to put some pictures up as well. When you picture Omaha Beach and the landing and the invasion of Normandy and what the Germans had put out, you know, those barricades, big metal barricades.
Oh, yeah.
Trying,
yep.
trying to prevent the amphibious landings, and the LSTs had to go around them and all of that. Well, there is a couple of sections of that's what it looks like, these pieces
really?
From out of the World War II era. And John says, that's it. That's what the old border here used to look like. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Brother, even a guy like you, non-athletic and bad knees and a hernia, you
can't see.
Could crawl over. You could crawl over this. And then in all seriousness, it's maybe four and a half feet tall, big steel girders. And, brother, I mean, it's tougher cutting in line at Disneyland under their railing than to maybe get through this quote-unquote border fencing or border wall. And even we were talking about, if you put barbed wire on top of it, look, even the 20 to 24-foot tall wall is not keeping some people out. They're finding a way. Whether, I mean, not everybody's smuggled in. Obviously, they're finding a
right.
way. And we've seen remnants of that the last couple of days. But then you look at the old ways, and then, as I was talking to John, and we'll talk about this afternoon, is, you can see this, as Trump would say, this beautiful wall, but it doesn't go on forever. And we also know that there are parts, and yeah, they're inhospitable to be a human being and being out of the elements, et cetera, but there are still portions of our border with Mexico that have absolutely nothing, not the four and a half foot World War II era barriers or these new walls.
You were talking with Stephen Tubbs. You've heard of him. He has been doing this for 5 years on this station and 100 across all media spectrums.
That's right.
Stephen's on from 4 to 7. When you look at the wall, and I think some people are mistaken in that it has to be like completely contiguous across the southern border to have an impact. And my guess is you see this, and certainly John would see this as well, that it's enough that it's a force multiplier to create an area of denial
100%.
To the other side,
yep.
and then to funnel them to the places where there is weakness so that you can use your limited resources. And we heard John Manharis talk to us yesterday. The number of Border Patrol agents across the southern border has actually decreased over the last however many years compared to
yep.
what it was doing beforehand. So the stuff that you're seeing is probably not where the problem is. It's those other weak point areas. Do you guys think you're going to run into any of those along the way? I know you're on your way to meet with a whole bunch of subject matter experts who've been doing this thing forever.
Right.
I'm anxious to hear what they tell you. Have you seen any areas where John has said this is a place that they could exploit?
Here's the honest answer, and simply, no. And again, it does. But, for this section, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it or give you the worst of the worst, or especially, no offense to you, George, but, our important listeners, look, I'm not going to say that, well, we're going to look for the worst of the worst. Well, everything we've seen this morning has been positive. But for those that, Jay, they would go, well, see, there's a wasted trip down there, or see, there's no problem. Look, all I got to do is take you to my Facebook page or on the show's Facebook page. See some of the pictures we've done. Look, we would not have found hundreds and hundreds of bottles of empty water bottles and 5 gallon jugs and milk jugs. We wouldn't have found clothing. How about this? There would not be Border Patrol agents everywhere like we saw yesterday. And we've seen a lot today, but nowhere near the amount yesterday. If there was not a problem. But this also makes sense because, where we were yesterday, we were only what? 30 minutes max west of downtown El Paso. The problem is here, and anybody, I could just see somebody coming down, maybe from, say, some left-leaning media outlet, and seeing what we saw today and going, see, we told you, it's the right-wing media that's making this stuff up, if they only reported on what we saw today. Let me tell you, George, I'm happy to report that, I look at that wall and I go, damn straight. You know, this is not a humanitarian issue right now. When I'm looking at this, a country is nothing without borders. And John Fabricatore and I were talking about this. This wall, which is not that monstrosity, it's not destroying the landscape. I mean, hello, Europe. I mean, countries have borders. Countries have borders, and we're nothing without a border. And it'll be very interesting. You can take my word for it, or John's, or anybody else's. But at the same time, I think what's going to be invaluable is to hear from these guys we're going to go meet later on this morning.
That's my colleague from the other end of the day right here on 710, Stephen Tubbs. One thing about that, you talked about the border thing, and it was interesting, and you mentioned this a little bit in your show yesterday, too. We spent some of the day yesterday going down to, I think it was Paso del Norte, which you were convinced
right.
means the North Pole. I don't think that's true. I think it's the pass of the North. But nonetheless, we ended up running into two dudes who were quick to distinguish themselves from the Texas Guard. They're like, nope, those dudes are volunteers and they do other stuff. We are the Texas National Guard. And what was really interesting to me, and we discovered this kind of at the end, was they weren't there really as a protection for the border itself. They were there not at the request of the federal government. They're not on Title 10. That's what we'd call federal orders. They're not on annual training. They're not on some sort of ADOS orders, for those that understand what that is. These guys were on SAD orders, state active duty orders, and they were there to protect really something else. Stephen, do you remember that?
It was private property.
It was private property. It was that BNSF train area.
Yep.
And what they told us was, listen, we're here at the request really of the governor, and they're not the only ones that do this across the border, because there's a weak spot down there. We couldn't get to it without, because once you identified yourself as media, one of these guys went mask up. I don't know if you saw that. He was instantly like, don't look at me, don't make eye contact, you can't see my face. And the other guy was more like, check out my mustache. You know what I mean? Like, it was much different.
And by the way, that guy, I mean, both of them were very friendly, as you know.
Yeah,
you know,
really nice guys. Yeah.
With mother. But how about the one guy who was born in Thornton?
That's crazy. And he's thinking about joining the Colorado National Guard, which I encouraged him to do. It was either between us and Alaska. So instantly I thought, there's something wrong with him. There's really no debate between us and Alaska. But nonetheless,
although,
I do.
You know what? There may not be any truth to the rumor that he had seen the film Denver in Decay and decided maybe Alaska's a better option.
Thornton's still just far enough away that it's still okay. It's not the whole metro area. But he told us that, listen, they're there, and when illegals cross over at that one point that we couldn't get to, we couldn't really see the difference, he's like, they really leave it up to BNSF or the private property owner to say, do you want to have these guys prosecuted for trespass? Otherwise, I think they're in the business of trying to take them over very close to where we were at that Paso del Norte checkpoint and get them back into Mexico. It was very interesting, that conversation.
Yeah, and remember also he was talking about, and no, it doesn't happen 50 times a day, but I'm always just so impacted by when they talk about the children and unaccompanied minors. And I don't know if you recall when he was saying, you know, when we do get unaccompanied minors here, and they really don't know what they're doing or where to go, that's when they take them back to that Paso del Norte and try to get them processed there. But, I mean, look, also the one thing just to describe for our listeners is we were talking with two of them, and they were near a Humvee, and, you know, not what you see in Iraq or Afghanistan. There was actually empty Chick-fil-A on the dashboard of the rundown and old Humvee.
Of course, you saw their food.
Of course I did. But my point is, you know, those were only two guys, right? And then John and I were talking about this yesterday, that as we were talking, you know, over the 20 minutes or so, there were van loads as there was a shift change. Those guys were just the tip of the spear. They were
tons of soldiers.
You know, right
tons
there.
Of soldiers.
Yeah, there were dozens.
And these guys were wearing plates. They were wearing body armor, and they also had magazines in the wells of their semi-automatic rifle. I presume they were the M4s, but I didn't really take a close look at them. I don't know what rounds they may or may not have had in there. I know it would be super sketchy for any commander to cut loose E4 and below with bullets in their magazines in that setting. But the other thing that struck me as we walked away, Stephen, was that the failure of the federal government to secure this border has these ripple effects on other people's lives. And so that one guy, Mr. Mustache guy, who was super nice, the Thornton guy, that dude has been on state active duty orders for 2 years. Whatever this guy's dreams were of how he was going to live his life as a Minuteman of sorts, as a militiaman, really, on the weekends and doing stuff, he has now had 2 years of that life interrupted to come protect private property at the border because the federal government has failed to do it. Amen. And that's just one guy. And if you think about his life guy. and the taxpayers that have spent that money not on hospitals, not on schools, not on a police force, not on prisons or jails or any other things. They've spent it on protecting their border because the federal government has failed to. You start adding up those numbers, it's staggering.
And one other thing, and I know you got to take a break, but here's the deal. Remember what he said, and I mean, you would know rotations maybe like this, obviously 10 times more than I would, but all you said is true, and his life has changed. And, you know, yeah, he's getting paid, and he made a point, and it wasn't in a boastful way, but he's like, it was almost, I took as if he's the offer of the money is so good that he'd be kind of a fool not to stick on for the last couple of years. But he also said two things I'll leave you with. Remember, he said at one point, first of all, the staffing levels are very, very low, so that's why they get so many opportunities to stay on the clock, so to speak. And he said at one point they were 16 on, one off. Right. That's nuts. That's nuts. So don't let, you know, it's great that we saw all of them down there. Yes, they're getting paid. To your point, their lives are altered, and it is all because of a failed federal policy. I don't know. That's why we're down here, brother.
And I got to say, my hat's off to the distinction then between a governor of the state of Texas and a governor of the state of Colorado. This guy is using every tool at his disposal to protect Texas from this failed federal system. On the other hand, we have a governor and a legislature that seem to be like, let's have more of it. Come on up here. You guys can hang out here. It's a real dichotomy.
Yep, it is. George, I'll let you go, but I got to say one other thing. Today on the program and Deborah Flores' show, of course, at 3 o'clock, Deborah and Jonathan and Julio Rosas and the crew are all coming up with us. So we're gonna get a lot of interviews. Deborah will talk about it. But I got a text from a friend of the program, Don Wilson, the mayor of Monument, and House friends. I'm telling you, is the supervised injection site bill is back. It is House Bill 1202, which I equate to probably in the first year of the signing of this, if it happens, that's the equivalent of how many Coloradans this bill will kill. March 1st, apparently, is the public comment, and I've been asked to testify, and I hope to be able to have that happen, but we'll talk about that. You do not want to just sleep on House Bill 1202 and House Bill 1100, as we've been talking about down here as well. So, my man, I'll talk to you later. We'll see you later. And,
thanks, brother. Stephen Tubbs, 4 to 7, Deb before him, 3 to 4. Thanks for making time out of your trip. And remember, bail is only a phone call away. Not to me or Kelly, but to someone. It's only a phone call away. That's Stephen Tubbs. Hey, listen, we'll stick around for the last break before we turn it over to a guy named Chuck Kirk. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, back with you here on 710 KNUS. Our number, as always, 303-696-1971. On the line with us is Lindy, wanted to share with us her experience. Ma'am, thanks for joining us.
Hi, George. First-time caller.
Thank you.
I so wish that I had a resolution for all this, but I do not. I had a sister that lived in a little border town. It's surrounded by, I think, Arizona, Texas, and Mexico. The town was Jacumba, Colorado, or California. At any rate, one of her neighbors had asked her to go over and feed the dogs after my sister got off work. And she went over one night, and there was a illegal. He was a 23-year-old illegal. And he beat her to death for her car.
Oh, good Lord.
He murdered her. Yeah.
And what happened? What happened to him? What did the system do?
He's in jail. They caught him. Thank God there was a resident that saw him driving a little Volvo, and it didn't match up to a 23-year-old on the Mexican border, you know, driving a car like that. At any rate, yeah, he's doing, I believe, live. I haven't kept up with it, George, because I just, I can't deal with harboring such ill will for somebody. So I've never kept up with, but as far as I know, he's in prison. He got life in prison.
I know you started this by saying, and by the way, that's a great outcome if you have to be in the system. But I think, like me, you're thinking, what if we'd had a wall that would have prevented this guy from coming in? Would my sister still be alive?
Truly, George, if somebody's determined to kill somebody or to harm somebody, I just don't believe in this world today that walls and taking away the guns and, you know, blah, blah, blah is going to, it might hinder it a tad bit, but I just don't think it's going to eliminate, you know.
Well, then what's the answer? How do we do this?
Again, I have no resolution. I wished I was smart enough to figure it out, but I just don't believe that there is one. You know, you can put up walls. It's the same with here in Colorado. You know, you can take away our guns. But if somebody's determined to do evil acts, they're going to get a weapon, you know, whether it be gun, knife, whatever. So I
think it's the question of who's going to get it. Do you think, Lindy, where you're at here in Colorado, we're a sanctuary state?
Do I think what?
That Colorado's a sanctuary state.
I do. And I'm not happy about it. If they are, I'm pretty sure we are, aren't we?
I feel like we are, independent of the title. I think everything we've done is too. Well, listen, I want to tell you, I'm so sorry for your loss. And what I appreciate is one, the guts to call in, first time caller.
Yeah, but also
the candor of saying, I don't know what the right answer is. I think that's where Colorado and America are. I think we know some of the answers, but the answer, I don't know if there is the answer, you know?
I don't think there is either.
Lindy,
thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. That was Lindy. Listen, we only have a little bit of time left. Here's what I want to do. I want to set the table for Deborah and Stefan. So here's the deal. You know that Stefan's going to come on this afternoon. He's going to have interviews that he's done with these retired Border Patrol guys, and he'll have Johnny Fabric on. I'm not even sure if that's really what fabricatory means. But do this. Do him a favor. You text him at our number at 710KNUS.com and 710KNUS app, and text the questions you want him to ask John. What are the things you want to know that maybe he and I and Deb, we're just missing? What are the things that would be fascinating for you to know? And hopefully I'll get a chance to interview John on the radio tomorrow, too, about my own thoughts. The other thing I want to continue to encourage you to do is the whole point of this, man, is to change the outcome in the state of Colorado and change the trajectory. And the way that you do that, and I appreciate the way Steve Wells described it, is you can do nothing and nothing's going to get better, or you can do something. And the things that you can do are go to 710KNUS.com. Check out that Colorado Undivided banner. Click on it, sign the petition, and then shoot it around to the planet Earth. Shoot it around to your friends, your family, even the people you don't like, even Kevin from Conifer. What's that? Shoot it around to them and get them to sign it too. Let's put pressure on the governor to change the trajectory of Colorado. I'll be back tomorrow. Deb at 3, Stefan at 4, George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.